action. The way Jesus prayed, we don't even know what he was praying at this particular moment, but we have other occasions where Jesus prays. Clearly, when he prayed, there was something different. He connected with God, his Father, in a real way. He was not doing a liturgical prayer thing. Remember, these are Jews who went to the temple very regularly or to the synagogue. When they went there, they said prayers that were said. Deep prayers. Remember, I've shared with you, you know that I was an Anglican before, once upon a time, and we have the prayer book. Even the Free Methodists and Methodists have a prayer book too that has amazing prayers. Not just amazing prayers, ancient, good, biblical prayers. I remember being in Bermuda where we have our service and we praise and we pray and then we go through the liturgy of the church and say the various prayers, confession, and so forth and so forth. And we would have visitors in church and they would be sitting there from different other churches, some from no churches at all. And when they hear us praying from the prayer book, reading the prayers, after the service, I'm going to put on a Bermudan accent, okay? Pastor, they would say. Pastor, did you hear yourself praying? Did you hear what you guys were saying? I said, wait a minute, what do you mean? Did you hear what is? No, the prayers you were saying are so powerful, yet you were just... Did you hear yourself those prayers? I'm saying here, sometimes, and I think this was a case with these disciples, it's not as if they've never prayed before. They have followed a set things and their mouths were just running. Maybe, but they heard Jesus pray. And the way Jesus prayed moved them to say, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus launches into sharing with them how, but not just how, to pray. Prayer is not just mouth moving. Prayer must emanate from the very heart. Let's hear how Jesus did this. Prayer, first and foremost, is about relationship and reverence. It's about a relationship. It's intimacy and worship. Our Father, Jesus begins. Our Father. He could say, Father, and that would be legitimate. That would be fine. He could just say, Father. We hold God as Father, but Jesus is intimate. He says, Our Father, a possessive pronoun. Our, you belong to me. I am yours. Our Father. He would be right in saying, our God, because that's who he is. He says, our Father. That term, Father, all of us know because this passage is very familiar to all of you. That term, Father, from Galatians chapter 4, we know is Abba. It's the Spirit within us crying to God Almighty in a very unfamiliar way to the Jews of the day. Abba, Dad. That's what it is. That's how intimate it is. This is the reason Jesus, one of the reasons Jesus was killed, because he makes God his Father, the Jews said. He makes his God his own Father. They were not familiar with using those terms. Here Jesus tells his disciples, when you pray, say, Abba, Father, our Father. Intimate, but worshipful, reverent at the same time. When Jesse speaks to me, my daughter speaks to me, Dad, and then Dad, the mouth goes. You do the same with your father because you're familiar and you love him. But Jesus says, be familiar with God because he is your loving father. Yet maintain a posture of reverence. Hallowed be your name. Your name be kept holy. Dad, I'm sitting at your lap, yet I recognize that you are so, so much bigger, so much spotless, purer than any. You are holy. It's a petition. Inasmuch as it is an appeal to God's reverence, an appeal to God's holiness, it's an appeal that his name be continuously, be kept holy, that we do not take his name in vain. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Another petition and asking, Lord, may your reign, remember we said your kingdom, the word kingdom is not about a place. It's about God's sphere of rule, his overarching reign over all things in a world here where he is disregarded. He is not thought of in any way. Pardon me. Where people can sneer at him. Where people can just throw him aside. Jesus says, when you pray to your Father who is holy, 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 as the angels would say, pray. Your kingdom come. Lord, reign in me. Reign over all your creation. May your kingdom come. We are tired, oh God, of ruling and ruining our lives. Self-government does not help. May your kingdom then, holy God, come. Mankind is totally limited and fallen, that when they govern with so much fault. May your kingdom come. May your rule and reign prevail on earth. When we pray like that, we align our hearts with God's purposes. He wants to, and he will eventually have rule over all of life. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Pray that his kingdom will come. Pray his rule. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom. In your prayers, don't miss that. Hallow him. Draw close to him. Intimately close to him. Cry to him. And call that his rule will come. His kingdom come. Pray that his kingdom will come. Give us, Lord. Forgive us. And lead us. Give us our daily bread. Father, we depend on you. We depend for daily sustenance, not just material, even that is important, for daily sustenance. The parable Jesus uses after all of this is a man who has visitors and needs bread. I don't know how many of us go to bed thinking, oh, I don't have bread in case, you know, when my friends come over, I will not have anything. But in Jesus' time, it was normal. Cakes of bread, you know, flat bread and all of that, were not just a matter of just go and get some. Those things were hard to come by. I'm sure some of you, you've grown up having plenty, many of us, I'm sure. So when you hear this parable of someone going and knocking next door, can I borrow a cup of sugar, please? My mom used to make me do that sometimes when we had visitors. And boy, was it embarrassing. Imagine a 12, 13-year-old. Mom, really, do I have to go? Do I? It's so embarrassing. Just don't give them water, Mom. No, go ask next door. And then you go. Excuse me, ma'am. My mom just asked for a cup of sugar, please. Oh, sure. Anything else you want? And there it goes. Ask. Ask. Give us, Lord, daily bread, but not just for sustenance of the tummy, of the body. For daily sustenance, spiritual. Give us what we need to survive against the onslaught of Satan. Give us what we need. We'll hear later what Jesus is talking about in just a moment. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us, Lord, our sins, which are many. Forgive us now. You have forgiven us, but continuously we confess our sins before you. Lord, forgive us. I know my state. I know my fallenness. Forgive me, Lord, and lead me. Lead us. Lead us against all temptations. Lead us away from the onslaught of Satan. Lead us. This is our daily prayer, our daily utterance of dependence, utter dependence for our daily sustenance physically, but also our spiritual needs. That's why Paul says in Philippians, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but make your request known to God. He's been making petitions, our Lord Jesus, thus far. Making petitions. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. Give us, forgive us, and lead us. He's been saying that. But then he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. Jesus teaches his disciples to be persistent. Oh, I prayed for the day, I'm done. Oh, I prayed for the week in church, I'm done. Oh, I prayed for the month for my friend, and I'm done. No. He says, be persistent. This is where he gives this parable of this friend who goes over to his neighbor asking for bread. He is persistent, persistent, persistent. Later on in Luke 18, we will have the parable of the widow who wants justice. And she goes around to the judge and she wants to be heard and he will not hear her. He just thinks she's an annoyance, she's a nuisance. But she walks around and I can hear this lady. Yep, yep, I want to be heard. I want to be heard. Please give me ear, Lord. Give me ear, O judge. Give me ear, O judge. He gets irritated with her and eventually has her in the court and he hears her. And Jesus in Luke 18 verses 1 to 8 there says, this is an unrighteous judge who eventually listens to this woman who is persistent in her pleas, persistent over and over. He says, the same way you and I ought to be persistent, pray without ceasing, without stopping. The Bible we read this morning, that Lindsay read so lovely, it puts it wonderfully, shamelessly, audaciously pray to the Father. Impudence. Go to him, vulnerable. There are no beautiful words here. Oh Lord, I prayed this morning, but I continue to pray that you will bless my dear friend. She is ill. Oh, Heavenly Father, I join my prayers with all the saints in heaven, with the angels above. by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will heal her, O Lord my God. There is a place to go and pray and leave your prayers at the feet of the cross. There must be that place. And then you walk away as you leave them to the care of God. You walk away, not picking them up and walking with them so that you can exercise your power. No, you leave them at the place of the cross, knowing very well that your Father will hear you. You leave and continuously be praying. In fact, you do not leave the foot of the cross. Your posture, your life, my life, must always be a life of prayer. Prayer is not a once-off thing. It is a lifestyle. It is a continuous thing. Oh, James tells us the prayer of the righteous is powerful. The prayer of the saints made righteous is powerful. Therefore, approach the throne of grace with boldness, not self-confidence. No, go boldly. That means confidently. Confident in what? Your amazing words? No, go confidently because he who has promised will do it. He who has promised will do. You are trusting him. You and I must trust him. Therefore, we pray persistently over and over about various subjects in our life, praising him, hallowed be your name, O Father. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in my life, O God. May your will be done in our world, O God, as your kingdom comes. Give us all that we need daily. Forgive us daily. Lead us daily. O God, move in our hearts. I pray that we will be persistent, knocking, and seeking and asking. It's not just about speaking. It is by faith that you receive, even when you don't see it. You receive it because he has promised. Ask, seek, knock. We grow so impatient after praying and we look around. Where is this God? What has he done? He says, continue asking, continue seeking, continue knocking. It's a continuous pursuit. You are after him. You long for him. And he answers. He has promised through the prophet Jeremiah that when you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. Seek, ask, knock. No jokes. Okay, you don't get that, fine. Knock. Don't stop. Whatever your plea is, it is never too high for God. Whatever is in her heart, it is not too much for our God who raised the dead even after 4 days. Stinketh. After 4 days, he raised the dead. Nothing is impossible for him. But his love is so great that when you pray and you don't receive what you pray at the time that you are praying for, you can still trust him that he has your best interest at heart. But continue praying, continue seeking, continue knocking. He is greater. You know, when one preaches this this prayer, Our Father. People say, you know, not everybody has a great relationship with their fathers. So it's hard for me to pray, Our Father, Our Father. So I don't like to do that. Or other people will say, you know, I want to pray, Our Mother. How about that one? Don't. Jesus called him Father, the provider, the protector, the kind, loving, gentle God he is. That's whom Jesus called. But pray, pray to your Father, who is better than any perfect father here on earth. A perfect father will never listen to the child. Dad, do we have eggs today? Yeah, here's a scorpion. Do we have fish today, Dad? Yeah, here's a snake. No father who is good here, but your father is incomparably better, greater than any good father in heaven. Because you persistently pray to the one who promised, he will give it to you. But what does he give? He doesn't just give daily bread. He doesn't just give sustenance and forgiveness. He gives all of these material and spiritual gifts. But what Jesus says here, in this parable, how much more when you pray to him will he give you the Holy Spirit? How much more will he not just give you himself to live in you so that when you need daily bread, God in you will testify that God is my provider, Jehovah Jireh. God, the Holy Spirit, who is a gift from God the Father and God the Son, lives in us because we asked, oh Lord, give us all that I need to be sustained in this world. Keep me. I am not of this world, but I am in this world. As Jesus prayed to you. Therefore, Father, I pray, please sustain me. Temptations are all around me. From within me, the old man wants to rear up his head and sin against you. Please, I pray, sustain me, O God. And then who sustains you? It is God, the Holy Spirit, within you, who comes and is grieved when you are sinning, who comes and is encouraging when you are down and out. He's called the Comforter, the Advocate, the one who walks alongside you. Oh, Christians, how can we be morose? How can we be downcast? Why are you so downcast within me, oh my soul? Trust in the Lord. It is God who lives within us who does this. He has promised the Holy Spirit as our helper. He has promised. So whatever you learn this morning, learn this. Pray. Pray. Don't stop praying. Oh, pray. Pray. Pray, not as a ritual. Wake up in the morning, sit down, Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, oh, I'm done for the day. No, friends, it's not a ritual. It's a relationship. It's intimacy with God. Laugh with him and praise him when he has blessed you. When you haven't seen an answer yet, cry out to him from within your very bowels. From the depth of your heart, because this is a relationship. Do I treat prayer as a ritual? or this is a relationship with God. Be persistent. Continuously pray. Don't give up. Am I persistent? Or do I just easily give up? Do I trust His generosity? Do I trust Him? Or do I just think, He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Friends, our God is generous. He's generous enough to give us Himself in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit. He's generous enough to give. How much more will He not give us all things that we need? Oh, trust God. Trust God. Trust His generosity. I stop and I pray. I pray that God will move in all our hearts, that our times of prayer together in this place or in smaller groups in families or in your prayer closet where you are alone with God, I pray our prayers will be rich, will be full, that our prayer will be satisfying, satisfying because we are in the presence of the Almighty God. I pause and I stop, and I'm going to ask us to pray together. This model prayer, but I want us not to pray it as a ritual, not as something that we're familiar with. I want us to pray this prayer. I'm asking that we pray this prayer as we observe Jesus praying and as He tells His disciples. So we're going to pause after every line as we ponder what we are saying. Given what all that I've said so imperfectly, but I pray that the Holy Spirit would have magnified Himself in your heart and made this plain and clear. Will you join me in prayer? I'm going to start and then you will follow with me. Is that okay? Every line will pause just for 2, 3, 5 seconds. And so we pray. Our Father in heaven, may Your name be kept holy. May Your kingdom come. And Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. But rescue us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, I pray. Amen. The musicians, please come up.